live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long-distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long-distance, marriage, and relationships. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10. This is our first episode in double digits.
Woo!
So we've only got 90 to go, and then we're in triple digits. So today we're going to be talking about keeping things fresh. This is probably more for people who aren't in a long-distance relationship, I guess. But it's also, we've included things so that even if you're not years into a relationship when things are naturally starting to maybe dwindle, you can start putting things into practice early on, really. Keep things fresh from the beginning.
And I think it's probably something that people who are in long-distance relationships can bear in mind and maybe apply some of the sort of theory behind what we're saying to, because I guess if, I mean, we weren't long distance that long. If you are long distance for a very long time, it's got to be tricky to find ways to keep things fresh. So
yeah, and I think most of what we're going to be talking about, the suggestions we've got are really all boiled down to being deliberate with your actions. And I think that that's something you can implement at any stage of relationship. You haven't got to wait for things to maybe feel stale before you start making change. I think you can be preventative early on.
Absolutely. I also think that just to kind of start, it's worth saying that, you know, if you feel that your relationship is getting to a point where maybe things are a little bit less exciting, perhaps a bit stagnant, that you can't fix it on your own, I think people need to understand that really it does take both sides, especially if you're trying to prevent things from getting a little bit stale. I think to expect that you or your partner can fix it individually is probably a big mistake and the wrong foot to get off of, don't you think?
I do think, but I also think that I think a lot of times in relationships there's sort of ebbs and flows, and you can be at different points at the same time. So it may be that one of you really is trying to make an effort and keep things fresh and the other person is responsive. So that you're right that it takes two of you to make it work. But if you're the one that isn't doing it, don't think the other person has to improve their efforts too, because it's possible that they may already be doing everything they can and they just need you to be responsive, and vice versa. There will be times when you're probably trying to do more than the other person. I think it's just easy to sort of play tit for tat sometimes and think, well, I'm not seeing you do this, so I'm not going to bother doing this.
I think that's probably where communication comes in, though. Like, I think sometimes, kind of maybe it comes back to love languages. Maybe you're doing things that you recognize will make a difference for you, but perhaps that's not what your partner wants to see or needs to see.
I think also you can take things for granted and think, well, they always do that.
Yeah.
And so it almost doesn't count anymore, but it should count.
Yeah, it should always count.
And you shouldn't just think, well, you know, that was good enough for me a year ago. They're still doing it and I want more. And everyone's entitled to more, but what they were doing then and what they're doing now, it still counts.
Yeah, but I think that's where the conversation needs to be, though, is maybe approach it from, hey, look, I realize that things feel a little bit blah lately. I know that maybe I could work on this. I mean, is this something you're aware of? Are you feeling this? Am I missing, you know, the signs? Because I mean, I feel like we've had conversations like that where especially with people probably getting sick of hearing me saying stuff about anxiety. But when you are inclined to that, you can sometimes get stuck a bit in your head. And there's been times when I've come to you and said, look, I don't feel like we're this or that anymore. And then you have a list of, I've done this. I've not, like, as a way to prove me wrong, but just as a way to show, like, maybe seeing that.
Yeah, sometimes people, I think, aren't, if you're not necessarily looking out for it, it's easy to miss what the effort someone's putting in. And like you said, it's a love language thing. So it may just be someone's idea of making a slight effort can be making a cup of coffee when you get home. You know, for me, I like to try and do things for you, like, well, not so much lately, but in the past, it'd be having a hot bath ready for you when you walk in the door. Or, you know, I try and do the kitchen if I'm home and you're not home. So that's, and then you haven't got to do it. And sometimes it's just about giving that person 5 minutes back or taking something they haven't got worry about anymore.
I was talking to a friend actually recently that I hadn't talked to in a little while, and I was saying how like you've been doing loads lately where I've been in a funky place, and she said she and her boyfriend call it meatballing. It's where if you are feeling in a place where you cannot human, you cannot adult, you say, I need to be a meatball right now. I need to sit like a round piece of blah and do nothing. So the cat, dinner, I need you to just do those things so I can just sit. And yeah. I think that you do need that. And I think the thing about a relationship, you know, especially when it's been going on for a while, you've put a lot of cumulative work into it. And in a normal life situation where you're going to work every day, coming home, like sometimes you don't have the energy left to put into the person that you used to make time for in the beginning.
Yeah, and I think that there's an expectation point to make as well, that I think, you know, the beginning part of a relationship is normally very physical, there's a lot of affection. Keeping yes. things fresh doesn't have to be all about always having kisses and cuddles and having sex all the time, and your expectations shouldn't be all about the sex. It can also be, like you said, it's the reality. Sometimes what you need to do as a partner is just support that person when they need to be a meatball.
Yeah.
And sit there. You know, so be realistic about what the relationship is. It's not just constant physical.
Yeah. No, it's thoughtfulness too, because I think the longer you're with someone, the bigger a part of your life they are and the more roles they play in your life. So, you know, just like when you were young and you were coping with stress, you'd go home and, you know, you didn't have to go home and worry about all the things that come with running a home. You would go home, your parents would be picked, you know, the dinner would be made, your laundry would be done. And sometimes you just want to revert to that.
Well, I think sometimes, I mean, relationships change. So, you know, as I just said, it starts off and it's normally very physical and you're touching all the time and whatever. But naturally over time, and this isn't even to do with a relationship getting stale, but they quite quickly change. You know, we said in our last episode about the arguments that we had when we got our first place together because we're figuring out the schedule for washing towels and things like that. And the relationship...
Even those towels, you're never going to let go of them.
You bought them up last time. But, you know...
I knew what you were getting at.
The relationship changes. So... Mm-hmm. I think that can be sort of tricky terrain to navigate sometimes. Like, if you're not, especially if it's your first relationship, maybe, but if you're not necessarily happy with the pace that it's going, or maybe it's going a bit quick for one person, maybe the other person's happy with it and they're almost still encouraging that move forward.
Yeah, so kind of being in different places.
Being in different places, or just having a bit of a difficulty with this relationship's changed, I'm not quite with it yet.
Yeah, and I think that people sometimes think that just because maybe their relationship's feeling a little bit stale, that their relationship's in trouble. And I think those are two very different things. And I think that don't be ashamed if you're finding yourself in that relationship spot, or maybe not feel shame, but maybe don't panic. Like, it's okay. And I think, you know, we've been together for 7.5 years. We'll be married 7.5 years. We've been together longer than that. But we've been through periods where, you know, years into our marriage, I felt like we completely rediscovered each other. We were on the same page. Everything was kind of clicking. I mean, like you said, it ebbs and it flows. And I think one thing, we talked about this, I think in the porn episode, about how just because you're in a relationship and you're part of a couple, you are still an individual person. You have your own things going on. You have a life that is yours, maybe not separate to your partner's, but individual to you. And that doesn't, just because you're part of that couple doesn't mean those things go away and that you don't have to deal and find a place for those things in the relationship. So very rarely are you and your partner going to be completely, completely parallel. You know, you're going to be crisscrossing, dipping, ebbing and flowing.
Well, because you also get affected by external factors. So if you're having a lot on at work, or if you've got something precious with family, or you're not getting as much sleep as you normally do, you know, there's any number of things can just sort of throw you off your game.
Sometimes all those happen at once.
And again, that's something that the other person has to be prepared for, supportive of.
Yeah, I saw something, I heard it on Anna Faris's podcast. I can't remember who the guest was. It was an actress. And she said she'd heard somewhere that a relationship is like a picture in a frame. And sometimes you're the picture and you are the spotlight and the center of everything, and your partner's the frame holding you up. But maybe that picture doesn't have to mean like the center of everything. It's just you're what needs support and that. And I just thought it was a really nice kind of way to describe that, you know, you take turns in the major roles of a relationship. Sometimes you're driving everything, you're, you know, the driving factor in the relationship, and sometimes you're taking a back seat because, you know, if you're in a good relationship, and I know we're in a place where things are pretty healthy, so I know that if there are other things affecting me outside, that maybe during that period I don't have to put as much effort into our relationship as I would. However, when I get back to myself, I'm going to put double time in.
Yeah, I think that's sort of about being a partner and having a partner, is there someone there to sort of support you when you're not quite yourself and they can take the reins.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess in terms of a few things you might notice. So when we say things are getting stale, what do we mean? Does that mean that maybe you're not having sex as much? That's probably one thing. Or it's the same kind of sex?
I think it's also a conversation. You know, it highlights the importance of conversation, because one person's not enough is one, the other person's enough. You know, we've had conversations about sex where we're on different pages about what's satisfactory, you know. You know, so that's a conversation to have. That's something that sex drives change over time. For one thing, like we just said, if you've got all these pressures and lack of sleep and everything else, your libido is probably going to be lower than it normally is.
Yeah.
You know, there's any number of reasons that can make one person want sex less than the other person maybe want sex more.
Yeah.
So you need to talk about it. And is it stale, or is it just that there's been a change in relationship that you've not spoken about and it just feels different?
Yeah. Or it could be some of the interests maybe that you shared towards the beginning have changed. Maybe one of you is a bit less interested in something. So maybe that's hiking. You guys really love to hike together, or, you know, an artistic thing. And maybe those things move a bit. So maybe you feel like one of the main things that anchored you as a couple is drifting a bit. But that, you know, that doesn't mean that there aren't other things. Obviously, you're not in a relationship because of one thing you have in common. But I think that is something that can cause people to drift. Another thing is a lot of people act like they're more into something at the beginning because the other person's into it. I know a lot of people who maybe kind of think, oh yeah, maybe I'd like to try that, but they act a bit more like, oh yeah, I'm really into that. And then once you establish more things about yourself that work and you have a relationship, then you don't feel like you have to kind of play up that story. Not necessarily story, but when you relax a bit, you might go, actually, do you know what? That's not that big of a deal to me.
Yeah, I think generally you sort of are the PR version of yourself at the beginning of a relationship. But all that said, we do have some tips for things and how to keep things fresh.
Sure, man.
So the whole episode isn't just a bit of a recap on what can go wrong. So something that we haven't done as much as we should, but we did start to do this, and you found it somewhere, was ideas in a bowl.
We got that off of that show, Sex Inspectors.
Did we?
Yes, which is a really good show.
So that's a tip for everyone, is that, it doesn't necessarily have to be this show, but we used to watch a show. I say used to, because it's not on anymore.
Yeah.
We would still watch it, but there was a show called Sex Inspectors, and it was just couples who really were in a bit of a funk, weren't they?
Yes,
a lot of the times it was, maybe kids had entered the picture, or tastes had changed over time, someone was more tired, or that it just got stale.
Yeah.
And it was a good show, and we weren't in that place, but it was still like there were tips in there that we could take. And I think my advice is always, don't wait until you need advice before you start
looking being
ready. Or even if you're not looking for it, just be ready to absorb it. If you if you come across it and think, no, I can use that one day,
You
try and make today that day. But yeah, so, you know, there's lots of resources out there, TV shows and whatever. But yeah, so this particular idea, we got on there. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I think basically we gave each other a sheet of paper, folded it into, I can't remember what it is, but it's like you each get so many preferences. So maybe fold it into like eighths or ninths or something like that. And then cut it into squares. And on each square, you write something that you like. So that doesn't have to be sexual, but it can be. And in many cases, it is. Could be treats, surprises, an action you'd like the other person to do. And I remember some of the things I wrote down were like, you know, put your back hand, put your hand in my back pocket when we're out in public, or
holding hands was another one. Of
yours. Holding hands, yeah, a bit more. Just little things, and some of them probably, I'm sure, well, I know we're more sexual than that.
And don't be afraid to put things in there that you want more than the other person wants. It can be, I think it can help start that conversation of, you know, if you need something and or you want something.
Yeah. And I think the strategy is you just have it somewhere and then either you take turns, whatever works for you, whether that's every time you walk past it, you take one out, or you'd have a night a week where you draw and treat the other person to whatever it is that's in the bowl.
But I think it's good to have, if not rules, then maybe some guidelines for it, because you don't want to be putting things in that you really want to do only for the person to say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Unless it's something that obviously you spoke, but it's not an exercise in being able to be demoralising for the other person. No, so it's whether the guideline is we agreed that we'll take one out now. We're both in the mood for it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you get to veto one thing per occasion. So do you know what? I'm not in the mood for that tonight. Pick another one, but put that back in the bowl and we'll do it another time.
I think while it's good to have these maybe force you to step outside of your comfort zone a little bit, these are things that you're going to be comfortable doing on the fly to an extent. So if
there are going to be things that you're just, for example, if we were at home one night and we said, let's take one of those things out, and it was put my hand in your back pocket when we walk in,
that's not going to work.
It's going to go back in the bowl. If something that comes out and it's sexual, you're both thinking, I'm not in the mood tonight, it goes back in the bowl. It's not by saying, right, I have to be ready to perform on the spot.
You kind of hit on it a second ago. I didn't really get into the detail, but it was sort of more along the lines of, like, you know, maybe not things that are an issue. So if there's maybe something you guys have been trying to figure out for a long time, whether that's a sexual position or an act or a hobby, maybe you want to go be taken out dancing and your person has a crippling fear of dancing and in public, you know, don't put those things. Those are things you need to work through. And talk about. It can't be just something you draw out of a bowl and you do. So while they should be maybe like, oh yeah, maybe I do like eating her out, but I can never really get around to it. Like, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
You do need to compromise, but I don't think that this is a forum for the tricky stuff and the heavy stuff in your relationship.
No, it's not.
It's just, it's supposed to make things easier.
Yeah, you don't want to put these out and it turn into an argument or... You know, yeah, it's supposed to make things easier. It's supposed to be just something sort of quick and fun and, oh, yeah, you know, we used to hold hands all the time. We don't do that anymore. I'll make a note of that. That's our dog shaking in the background for anyone who can hear it.
They're being little dickens tonight. We'll say that much.
You know, so that's the point of it. So just put things in that you want. Is it, I want you to cook dinner tonight maybe, or let's have a spontaneous movie night tonight, or, let's do this sexual activity now, or... But I think it really needs to be something you can do at that moment, not let's go to Barcelona for the weekend, you know, to plan for and spend money on. And it should just be, and it should be immediately achievable, not, oh, we haven't got money to do that. It's, you know, you don't need money to hold hands and eat her out and whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something as do a puzzle, play a board game together, you know, discover a new show or listen to music and discover a new band. Like, just things you can do on the fly. Just to have some time close together, really.
And something I saw today that we don't do this, and it's another idea moving on from the bowl, but it was a money-saving tip that I saw, but I don't think it has to be a money-saving thing, but people were saying, you know, how they like to go out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, my issue is sometimes we're going out for dinner is it's normally the whole evening gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it can be expensive. But they were saying actually what they started to do is they'll have dinner at home, but then they'll go out for dessert. And they said it's the same experience.
Yeah.
But from a money-saving point of view, it's cheaper. But
yeah,
it's also quicker. But I think that's a good idea.
That's really a good idea. You know, I really like that.
And also, it probably feels like a bit of a treat. Like, oh, let's go out and have ice cream some days.
Yeah.
Rather than let's go out for dinner. I thought, you know, that's good.
That's a lot more achievable. And like...
And that can go in the bowl. I mean, if you, whatever your equivalent of it. I know in America you've got Dairy Queen and mm-hmm. we've got McDonald's. You know, you go out and just get a drive-through ice cream from yeah. the fast food. Yeah, well, I mean, we do that can go in the bowl.
That's a little thing that we do. Like, anytime we've been up to London or anywhere, like maybe if your band has a late gig or if we've been up to see a show in London, we always stop at McDonald's on the way home and get fries and a milkshake because it's late. Maybe we had an early dinner before whatever
it, and the show. It doesn't even have to be late anymore. It's become a tradition. So if we've been to London and we drive in, we stop at McDonald's.
Not all the time. But yeah, I really like that idea. I think that's something going out for dessert because we've got that restaurant up the road that has really nice desserts for a really reasonable price.
Yeah, and I think, you know, dessert normally is quite reasonably priced.
That's a really good one.
And also, you know, I feel like that's probably something that happens more at the start of relationships is you go out more because you're dating.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that can really help with contributing to things getting stale or not keeping things fresh is that you probably stay at home more. I know we do.
Oh, yeah. But we do a lot of date nights at home too. Which
we do. I don't think it's an issue for us, but I think it can be an issue for a lot of couples that the effort isn't really there as much. Because you're doing other things. And I know as soon as kids come along, most of your energies go in there. We're much more consumed by work than we were 7 years ago. And, you know, we've got different animals and things now that take up time. So your mind's pulled in more directions, I think, as you go along. But so it can feel stale because we're not going on these dates as frequently as we used to. We're not spending the 2 hours across a table, you know, in an atmosphere with, you know, maybe candlelight and
staring background music. Eyes, and,
yeah, you know, it's just you're together on a bit more of a all-consuming journey.
Yeah, I think it can be, you can feel a little bit guilty too when things start to go stale and you start to remember, you know, how things were before and maybe you're not putting the same efforts. But like you're saying, it is just par for the course. Like, it's a very different situation. When you're first together, you may be living in a situation where you're either with your family or with roommates. So to get that one-on-one time, you do go out more. And maybe your, you know, financial responsibilities are such that you can do a little bit more. And then when you move in together, then
it may also be that you go on these dates, then you know, or it's likely that you'll have sex to top that night off. Whereas the relationship goes on, well, you have dinner every day. You're not going to
finish. Every time you have a meal.
Exactly. And, you know, so again, it comes back to these adjustments that we mentioned before. And I think it's probably good to touch on if you are in a long distance relationship, because we shared it on Instagram for anyone who saw it, but we had that nice message from someone who's about to move. Mm. And I think, you know, there's obviously other people listening to this in a similar position where when you're about to move, you have all these sort of ideas and expectations of how wonderful it's all going to be. And hopefully it is, but the relationship's going to have the same issues that we're talking about. It's going to come to that. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a way to say don't do it. Obviously, we're the last people to say that. But it's more, again, be prepared that that's going to happen. Prevention's better than cure. But, you know, don't think that one, your relationship's immune from it. Go into it with a level head and realistic expectations. I was just going to say, don't also think that when that happens, the relationship's done, because it's not. You know, you built something strong.
I think I've just realized what our slogan needs to be for this podcast, based on like an underlying message through every single episode. It's like a happy and healthy relationship has to be a conscious effort, and I think
it's be deliberate, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, very rarely do these things just happen. That your relationship never has any speed bumps.
Well, yeah, I can't. Can't remember where I read it, but there was something I read that was, you know, nothing great ever happens by accident.
Mm.
And I'm sure something does, you know, fucking penicillin. He just had moldy bread, right? And there's penicillin on that mold. But generally, I agree with that. You know, if you see someone successful who, you know, they always say, you know, sort of overnight, sensations are normally 10 years in the making. It's just they come into the public eye very quickly. And whenever you see someone successful, there's a lot of hard work that's gone into it. And there's always that analogy of sort of the duck, isn't it? It all looks very serene and calm on top and they're frantically sort of paddling underneath the water. And, you know, in relationships, no exception to that. There's hard work. All those couples that just look like they're madly in love and it all comes so naturally and easy to them, they've probably spent an awful lot of hours talking to each other arguing, like we said last week, when you argue, you learn about what did I say that triggered that person, mm-hmm. or what did they say that triggered me, and
but do we how learn do I say?
Yeah, we do. That's why we argue a fraction of what we used to. And not only do we argue less, we recover from them quicker. You know, when we used to argue, it's like I felt there was the ripple effect of the arguments used to last quite a while. We weren't really you kind of tiptoe around each other after an argument, and there's a bit of an atmosphere. And I just feel now our arguments are less frequent, they're shorter, they're less sort of feisty, and I think generally we can be done quicker. I think, you know, and on that, just quickly, one of the things you learned was my personality after an argument, because your inclination is to keep talking and talking until it's resolved, and I'm talking about after the argument. I prefer just to sort of have some quiet and be on my own for a little bit. And, you know, that's my time to reflect on how I handled it in a way that could have been better, or was, you know, is what you said really that unreasonable? Am I over it? And, you know, it's my time to think. And I know in our early days of our relationship, you didn't give me that time. Because you'd think, I need you to forgive me. I need to make sure we're okay. And over time, you've got really good at, like, okay, I'll leave you alone for half an hour.
Yeah, and, I'll go run an errand or whatever.
Something. So, you totally learn as all that goes on.
And I think something on that, though, is it is really important to make yourself a little bit uncomfortable in that situation if you know that it's going to give your partner what they need. Because, like you said, I need to talk it out. I can now, but I really struggle. And I'm still learning to step away from that situation. Because I don't like the uncertainty of where are we? Are we getting along now? Is this done? Are we happy? Like, what's going on? Whereas you're a little bit more happy to take that step back. Not ignore the situation, but separate yourself from it. Like you said, reflect a bit.
It gives me some time to have some clarity. And then I can talk to you and I can say, and we can have a sensible conversation. I can say, you know what, I shouldn't react that way. I didn't like that you said this, and this is where I went wrong.
You're painting such a calm picture of it.
But the point I'm making is just not like, you make all the sacrifice in giving me space and you're desperately unhappy and we don't talk about it.
We do talk about it.
We do resolve it. And it's just something that we've learned to see how we best do that over the course of the relationship. You know, I don't even know how we got onto this.
I know, I feel like we're veering off topic.
How did we get onto arguments?
I don't know. We just kind of went down a rabbit hole.
So we do have the occasional argument, but
I think we're talking about communication.
About being deliberate.
And the work that goes into relationships.
So those couples who look fantastic together and look madly in love, for, you know, 20 years down the line, they would have had their arguments. They probably still have their arguments, but they learned from it. And I think you try and find your routine, like what makes that person happy that I can do. You know, so if we don't do this, but you see a lot of couples who, oh, he still brings me coffee in bed in the morning. You know, so if you've got a morning routine that allows that, then great. You know, but it's those little actions that I think just go a long way.
Yeah, and I think surprising your partner in little nice ways, or even if it comes to a point where it's not a surprise anymore, like coffee in bed every morning, maybe you're doing the same thing, but that doesn't mean it's stale. Like,
that's the point I made at the beginning of the episode, was it still counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because it's been 5 years. If anything, maybe it counts more, because like you said earlier, like you've got that PR version of you at the beginning of a relationship, and it's very easy for those actions that don't come naturally to you, that you really make an effort to put this best foot forward impression to the other person. Oh, I'll make them coffee when they're staying over at mine. If you're still doing that after 5 years, you know, to me, there's an argument to be made that maybe it matters more.
I still make you dinner every night.
Yeah, you do, but you eat the same dinner as well. But
you know, but
you know what I mean? Like, if you're still doing it after a prolonged period of time, you're doing it because that person still means that much to you.
I might eat the same dinner, but it still counts.
It totally counts, yeah.
You said that yourself.
I did, it counts. Yeah, it counts.
Before you eat the same food.
No, it counts.
There you are, taking things for granted. Some other things that you can try are trying some new things together. I think we talked about a little bit ago about how maybe losing common interests can make you feel a little bit separated, but maybe finding something new that you'd like to do together would help you feel a bit fresher. Like, for instance, this podcast has been something that's done that for us.
Yeah.
It's something, you know, now we, you know, either a couple days before the podcast goes up or sometimes midweek we'll do a couple. So we find ourselves in a situation where on a night that otherwise we would probably just be watching something, messing around on our phones, we're engaging and we're talking and connecting more about our relationship, which is huge. So maybe your common interest doesn't give you a chance to talk about relationships like ours does, but maybe find a new cooking class or dancing class, or, you know, maybe start going to the gym together or do a workout plan. That's something that we did a few years ago. We got really into a workout plan, doing the same thing and working out together. And we were out working out, achieving something and spending time together. You know, other things you could do, start playing. We played a game, the new God of War film, video game when that came out.
We also did Jurassic Park, the Lego version.
Yeah, but that was hard. Lego Jurassic Park.
Every now and then we'll play a game together.
Yeah, and like, so maybe try and pick something that plays off of both of your skills and interests. Like, so for interest, why can't I talk tonight? For the sake of this God of War game, Rich is really good at like the battle and the fighting. I'm good at kind of the solving puzzles and, you know, getting doors open and finding pieces of things. So we'd trade off. I'd play this and I'd fight a bit, then I'd get scared, hand it to you. And it's something we did together. And we engaged.
I actually bought the game for you.
Yeah.
And then it scared me. Very long into it, you encountered a battle, and then that was when
we
discovered the division of labor throughout the game.
And I would still fight stuff, and I'd try things, but then I'd be like, oh, I can't do this. I think it's not that I get scared. I just get like, ugh, I'm not doing any good at this. Anyways. I think finding a new interest can really spike things. That might be wine tasting, beer tasting, you know, whatever it is, making wine, making
And you
beer.
Know what I mean? These days, it's hard to be stuck for ideas. I mean, you know, you can be stuck for ideas, obviously, but I mean, you can then go online.
Yeah.
I feel like today, I mean, there's subscriptions for everything. You know, there's subscriptions for, I think a lot of people know about the meat one. I can't remember what it's called. It's a meat subscription. You pay a certain amount a month, and then they send you all those like different meats that you wouldn't normally try. But they've got them for everything. I think they've got whiskey ones.
You got a coffee one.
I've got a coffee one, but they do spice ones. So you can subscribe to this spice thing. Every month, you get these different spices in the mail. So that could be your thing together. Is what can we make with these spices? You know, I follow someone on Instagram, and they're doing their honeymoon, but it's like, oh, they're in Italy, so they're doing pizza making, they're going on tours of places, they're making gelato.
Mm-hmm.
There are experiences available to people now that in the not too distant past, only the very wealthy could do.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Red Letter Days too. You can go and do one activity, whether that's like there's Segway racing, there's history tour walks in cities and things. So there are tons of things that you can do together as a couple.
But even if it's just watching a box set together, you know.
Yeah.
You can, you know, nowadays it's like, okay, I pay my £8 a month to Netflix, let's go through a series together, or I'm going to pay £6 a month and let's get spices in the mail and we can cook something different every month, you know. But we got the dehydrator a few years ago, didn't we? And we, you know, went through a little phase of just trying out new recipes, and we did the kale chips with that really nice...
Any chance to talk about your kale chips?
Well, they're fantastic. And then the sweet potato chips that we did.
Yeah, we went through a few things. Like, you got into vaping, like, last year for a while. And then I kind of got into it. So it was, we'd go to the cafe that you could vape in, and we'd try different flavors. And that was something that we enjoyed doing. You've got into coffee recently, thank God. Tea is the worst.
Tea is still fantastic.
No.
The British Empire was built on tea.
And is it still there? No.
No, but we still drink the tea.
The Americans drink the coffee, therefore the Americans run the world. No, but so that's, I mean, I've always, well, not always, but for years I've really loved coffee. And you were tea, I was coffee, and then you kind of started getting into coffee. And then it was us buying different kinds of coffee, going to different coffee houses and trying things.
We like to make things experiences, and I think we should put a picture up for this episode of our coffee bar.
Mm.
Because in our kitchen... we got some of that chalkboard paint.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a, what is it, a sideboard unit? I don't know. It's a dresser cabinet, basically.
It's like where we keep china cabinet, basically.
Yeah. So above that, and it's the same width of it, so it looks very feature-esque. Mm-hmm. We've painted that on a big rectangle in this chalkboard paint, and we've sort of decorated it to say this is the coffee bar area. We've got a coffee machine on there. Mm-hmm. We've got
cafe, our last name in Spanish.
Yeah, we've also got a chessboard on there just because the cat will destroy us. But, you know, that's our little area that just, it just adds a little bit of quirkiness to the house. And we like to make things experiences, and it's something we can do together. So when you did get into vaping, we went to the shop and we got that little wooden unit to keep all the stuff in. And we like to turn things into, shared experiences, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
I just feel you can do that these days. You know, so if you're bored, what can we do together? Go online. Like, what experiences are there that you can do?
I mean, Pinterest is huge for that, I think. And I think we mentioned this a little while ago on the dates episode. You know, we have some of our favorite default date nights are nights at home. So, like, our theme date nights where we pick a food. Maybe that's Mexican. And then we watch a movie like, the Mexican with Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt. And so we kind of make the food match the theme of the film. And maybe we plan that together. Maybe we do it as a surprise to the other one, you know, whatever that is. Or like favorite night where we just surprise each other in terms of something we know that they love in terms of the food and something to watch. But those are all things that came from a period where we didn't have a lot of money.
Well, we still don't have a lot of money.
Well, we really didn't have a lot of money. And we were trying to save
up. I mean, we really had no money.
We had enough to pay the bills and eat.
Yeah,
we didn't have any extra money, really.
No, it certainly, as far as disposable income went, it was we had to be careful.
Yeah.
So it was a case of, well, what can we do that, it doesn't involve going out for dinner and spending the money on meals. And I think maybe that's how we sort of fell into going out for breakfast, because breakfast is pretty cheap.
Breakfast is a cheap meal out.
So anyone here who isn't in England or hasn't been to England, we have the full English breakfast. I remember you had your first one and you said it's like your favourite meal of all time. Mm-hmm. So this is, if it's any good, you'd have two of everything. So it's just a sausage, egg, bacon, beans, toast, sometimes toast and fried bread. Sometimes you get chips with it.
Hash browns,
tomatoes, mushrooms. Like, it's massive. It's a huge, huge meal. But it's all like £5, £6.
You say that, it's tough to find it like that now, but yeah, I mean, you can get it.
You can. And then, so it's not the same as going out for a meal in the evening and spending £10-20 per person, you know, and then drinks and your desserts and everything else. It's, let's go out for breakfast, you're still getting that same experience of being out, you're eating.
Breakfast is cheap, we like doing that.
I don't know why we prefer it, but it's not a money thing anymore, but we still really enjoy going out for breakfast.
I think it's like the spontaneity of it. So this weekend, it was really rainy, and we were going to go to a boot fair, which, if you don't live in England, imagine people don't have garage sales, so they pack all the shit they want to sell into their boot or their trunk, and they all go to a field where other people want to get rid of the shit in their boot or trunk, and other people come to buy the shit in the boot or the trunk. Anyways, it's like just a field of people selling their stuff.
They're amazing. You can get some real bargains.
So we were just going to go and look this weekend.
It is eBay in a field.
You can get some good stuff. But sometimes we just like to have a look-see-loo and see what's about. It's a nice way to get out. But it was pouring rain.
She doesn't normally say look-see-loo.
I don't. If
you're wondering.
Whoopsie-daisy.
I don't live with that on a daily basis.
Don't be mean.
What's in the kitchen? Have a look-see-loo. Anyway, so the eBay's in field.
You said that, not me.
Yeah.
Anyways, we wanted to go have a look at the boot fair, see what was what, have a look-see-loo. And it was raining, but it wasn't like torrential. Anyways, we got there and there was a sign saying that it was shut.
It was pretty heavy. You'd already said you didn't want to wander around the field.
That's true.
In the rain.
So we were like halfway to more than halfway to one of our favorite breakfast places, which if you looked at our stories this past weekend, you will have seen that we went to like an 50s style American diner type place. But we'll just go there. I think the thing, sometimes we wake up on a weekend morning and we've got nothing planned and we're feeling all like, oh, lovey-dovey, we're having a step on bed. And we're
starving.
And we're starving because we've slept in. We think, oh, let's go get some breakfast. And it's a nice way to start your day. And then often if you have a big breakfast and you don't need to eat until dinner time, it's just a nice way to start your day together. I think because we don't get to eat breakfast together during the week,
No. But then ever. I think it also that brings on to another point about keeping things fresh is we really do like spontaneity. Mm. So I know that not everyone can do this and you can't really plan to be spontaneous, but we're not picky. So you've said before you're quite lucky that I quite enjoy shopping.
Mm.
So if you say, oh, you know, I want to go to the mall, I'll be like, okay, let's go to the mall. So that's something we'll often do is we'll go for breakfast, then you'll say, I don't want to go home yet, where should we go? So we'll go to one of our towns that we like to go to, or we'll go to the mall. Or
one of the things I like is, like, when we get home, and, again, you do like to shop, not, like, marathon shop, but you think, oh, I need to get something, I quite like to go and do that.
Well, I'm also happy just to wander. I don't like it when we go into shops when you're in there for ages, really, and you guys another. Yeah. But if we're just wandering around the mall, we can get a drink and we can.
Yeah. Well, like, when sometimes we'll come home, it'll be midweek, and you'll be like, do you know what? I really feel like I need a new pair of work shoes, or I need some new shirts for work. So, but okay. Well, do you want to go tonight? Yeah, the shops will be nice and quiet. So we go, we have some dinner while we're out, and we do that. Like, I do think the ability to be spontaneous with each other is really helpful. And it might be trickier when you have kids involved and stuff. I mean, we don't have that. We have got the dogs.
But I think that you do have to be willing to compromise on it, because that, you know, our example there would be difficult if I was one of those husbands who's like, I'm not going to the shops. Mm. I'm not going shopping with you. So, you know, I think you have to, like I said, you can't plan to be spontaneous. So that may be something that you have to find your own groove on that. But
well, that hits the thing of trying things that your partner likes. And I think that really helps keep things fresh. I mean, so you're always happy to go shopping. You were raised in a mall, much like I was.
Not always happy to go shopping, but I'm often
for the most part. I mean, I can't really think of a time when you've been like, nah, unless you don't want to.
Yeah, I'm often happy.
Spend the money. But something that you really like is like playing pool and snooker and stuff, which isn't something that I'm particularly keen on, but it must have been about a month or so ago, you really fancied going. None of your friends were about or free to do it. And I was like, well, I'll go with you. Like, I won't be any good, but I'm happy. I'd like to spend the time with you and, like, for you to get to do it. I mean, we actually had a really nice time.
Yeah.
And I feel like dying when I watch snooker on TV, but doing it in real life is not so bad.
You potted a few balls and everything.
Yeah,
it's good. But, you know, I like to do things together like that. And
yeah.
I think it's nice if one of you has an interest, it is nice for the other one to show an interest in it. You know, you haven't got to, you know, in this case, it's not like we have to go to the club every week and become really good at it. But I think it's nice for the other person if the person who is making an effort to try and like that activity. Because it's just a shared experience. And I know kind for us, we like to do most things together. It's like, we're not one of those couples that enjoys having too much away from the other one. Mm-hmm. Just like, I want you to be a part of this. Although I think that's probably a good point to mention on this whole thing about doing things together, that we also had the point of do something separately.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because I think probably in keeping with the absence makes the heart grow fonder thing, it's good to have some time apart.
Yeah, not only for the sake that you then enjoy when you're back together.
But it also gives you more to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I tend to have one evening most weeks at band practice. If we've got a gig, you don't come to all of them. I've recently started doing some volunteering, so I'm out of the house, you know, a couple of hours on a Saturday. It's just, these aren't things that keep us apart for, you know, days on end, but they're just hours here and there where you get time to do whatever you want to do. I've filled my time with things I want to do.
When we're back together.
You enjoy when you're back together. You're not living in each other's pockets 24/7, just 19/7.
Yeah, and I think, how far was I going to say just then? What was I going to say?
We're talking about having separate.
I was going to say back to when I first moved here, there was a period of time where I couldn't work. I didn't have a car, you know, I wasn't earning money, so I was sitting on my savings as much as I could. And you were working freelance from home, so we were just kind of in the same house all day. We weren't in the same room because you were, you know, somewhere quiet working and I was downstairs or whatever. And we just didn't really have much to talk about. And I think in that period, even though it was very new and we weren't even married yet, I just immigrated here, things felt a bit stale because we couldn't really get up to much and we didn't have anything to talk about because when we were together, we were doing stuff together. And when we were apart, I knew you were just upstairs working. And you knew I was just downstairs pottering about, making our wedding invitations or watching TV or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got my first job, that made a really big difference. We, you know, I was meeting people, funny things were happening. I wasn't at the house all day. So we just had things to talk about. And I think having those separate interests gives you more conversation, and conversation can be a huge thing in keeping things fresh.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
Yeah.
Both show.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think realistically, if things start to feel a bit meh, samey or whatever, you know, and if it's not because someone's going through something, having a hard time, like we talked about family, not sleeping, stress at work, anxiety, whatever, I think make allowances for those, because you will get that version that you're used to of your partner back if it's just something temporary like that. But if it's just that life is happening and you're getting a bit just stuck in the same place with each other, just start talking about it. You have to have that conversation and work together on it. And every relationship is going to hit a patch where things feel a little bit like that, to different degrees on every relationship. Different things might be causing it, but to some extent, it's completely natural.
Yeah, and a point you had noted down for this episode was about how it can be a job to make things exciting.
Yeah, so I think
so. It's the complete opposite of the spontaneity point, but
it sometimes can be being spontaneous, you have to schedule, which sounds really counterintuitive. But
I don't think you have to schedule the spontaneity, but I do agree that you can have to schedule your. You know, like you said before, our sort of motto now is just sort of being deliberate, making conscious effort. That can need to be scheduled in.
Yeah. And I think, especially if it's something you're seeing it happening, it's coming up more, and you want to start doing something about it, it might seem really robotic, but set yourself a reminder. Like, oh, I get paid on Thursday, so I'm going to stop and buy a bunch of flowers. Or, you know, she's been talking a lot about this movie that's coming out. I'm going to set a reminder to buy tickets to go see that movie when it comes out. Whatever it is, you know, it doesn't have to be a big gesture to set things straight. Sometimes all it takes to get your relationship feeling a bit more on track is knowing, oh, he or she's really actually trying. And that gesture, however big or small it was exciting and felt good. And it was exactly what I needed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I suppose actually we keep saying about the beginning of a relationship, you know, you go on dates and you have that PR version of yourself. But the other thing you have at that time is you're making an effort, mm-hmm. and the other person's able to respond to that. So if things are getting stale and you're in a bit of a funk, you can just think, am I making an effort?
Yeah.
It can be just by giving that person 5 minutes back. It can be having a cup of coffee ready for them. It can be unloading a dishwasher for them. It can be having a bath ready for them. Whatever it is, but are you just showing that you care? You've said this to me before, that you respond emotionally when you can see that I still show that I care.
Yeah. And that's
easy. It's easy to not show that you care, even though you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy not to when you're thinking, oh, God. You know, I've got a presentation at work tomorrow and I've got this to do and that to do.
I think so much of things feeling fresh is making things feel a little bit like they did in the beginning, trying to, you know, conjure those emotions that you felt. And the reason that you felt those emotions and the ways they were conjured was through making effort. And, you know, so if you can remember something that you used to do for your partner back in the day when things were new, do it.
Yeah, like play on the nostalgia of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know. I know that there was that chicken and sausage pie that I made for you once, like, and you absolutely love it. You still talk about it. I've never made it again because it was really hard work. But maybe if next time I notice that.
Well, you also made that sausage and spaghetti meal.
I used to make it a lot, though.
Yeah, I used to love that too.
Yeah, but we stopped eating pasta a lot.
Yeah, but I think also it's important to just remember why you're with that person. Like, it's easy to sort of. We said take things for granted, get stuck in the day-to-day, but just try not to forget, you know, that spark. Like, what is it that we said in one of our early episodes that, you know, you chose that person to share your life with, and you chose them for a reason, and you're with them for a reason. And try not to just, don't, you know, you grew up without that person in your life. You know, at some point you both made the decision to be in each other's life and share a home and make a home. Mm. Don't take for granted that, oh, this person is just here now. Like, they go anytime they want.
Yeah, but also relationships, you know, as long as you haven't done anything unforgivable, and sometimes you have and they still work, but I think a healthy relationship should be very forgiving. So don't be afraid to evaluate, have I been doing enough lately? And if not, go to your partner and say, hey, do you know what? I noticed that I've been X, Y, Z lately, and I'm sorry, and I want to change that. Is there anything you'd like me to start with? Like, don't be afraid to take the first step. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. And at the end of the day, if you have come from a long-distance background in particular, you've worked your ass off to make this work with this person. And it's okay that it's going to feel a bit samey, old hat, whatever at times. But just take the reins and remember what the days were like when it didn't feel that way and recreate that. We have so much power to do things like that as couples. And you are the biggest influence in that person's life, even if it is work that's stressing them out. Whatever it is, it's bigger than the two of you, actually isn't bigger than the two of you.
Mm.
You have to think, if something's bothering you at work, you come home, that's all gone. Like, those people at work, like, they're not thinking about you now, probably, or whatever it is. That stops, but, you know, the home life doesn't. So I think the more effort you put into the home and the relationship, the better you are to go out into the world and face things.
Definitely.
And the more, especially if, you know, your partner is struggling with something like that, all the more reason for you to put more effort in and keep things fresh for them. Maybe not fresh for you. Maybe these aren't the things that you need. But you need to
be... Yeah, maybe this is your time to be that support.
This is a time to be the pillar, make a compromise, not worry about, well, I really want this right now. I'm a bit bummed that I'm not getting that. You know what? You'll get your turn. There will be a time when you need your partner to handle everything and step up, and any good partner will do that and should do that. You know, there was a period of time where you were doing a diploma. You were working a full-time job and a freelance job to get us some extra money for something that we both needed. And you said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I said, don't think about cooking. Don't think about any housework. I will take care of everything, you know, and we did. And it was,
that's the only reason I was able to get through it.
Yeah. Because you did not have to think, you still thought about me and our relationship, but other than like of things you had to do, it was just those three things, the diploma, your full-time job and your freelance work.
Yeah.
You didn't have to think about the house being a disaster. You didn't have to think about where the next meal was coming from. You didn't have to think about the day-to-day errands and stuff. I did it all. Because you were busting your ass for us to grow in a way. So I did what I could. And then, you know, like I've said, when I'm going through difficult periods with anxiety or depression, you take care of everything. Or if there's something that you can't do, you basically give me the call this person, ask this. Like, you have to be the crutch for each other sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Sometimes it feels like you are all you have in each other's lives when the world is against you as a couple, but working it out together and keeping things fresh so that you feel that that place is safe and inviting and loving just sets you up for everything to be so much better.
I feel that's a nice natural wrap up to the episode.
Yeah, because I'm good at stuff like that.
Yeah. So I think just mention one of the future episodes we've got coming up.
Yes.
Is on infidelity.
Cheating.
So...
Similar, I don't mean to make light of that.
Similar to our porn episode, we've got some questions up on our... well, actually, the story will be finished by the time this episode goes up. But we have a post on our Instagram mentioning this infidelity episode. And, yeah, as with the porn episode where we asked for your opinions on things.
Yeah.
We'd like to do the same again here. So if it's... And this doesn't have to be something that you've personally experienced. I think the actual steer of the episode is very much flexible at the minute, isn't it? So
I think we want to hear people's concerns.
We want to hear opinions, experiences, concerns. So if you have cheated or been cheated on, we'd like to get your sort of first-hand thoughts on that. But if it's just something that you're concerned about, if you're in a long-distance relationship and you're worried they're all the time apart, are they likely to be looking, you know, if you've got thoughts on why someone would cheat, are you proactively making decisions in your relationship, maybe even slightly paranoid,
Have you cheated? Can you tell us why you did? What drove you to? Everything will be 100% anonymous unless you tell us otherwise. We might read some of the answers out, but we won't say any names. If there's something you know you really want to delve into, by all means, direct message us privately. But yeah, maybe we'll put some more stories up to keep it going. But yeah, definitely the post will be in our grid.
So talk to us on Twitter or Instagram. Send us a private message if you don't want your name on there. I always feel whenever there's these sort of... whenever you can write into this, I always wonder, has that date passed? So maybe we should put a date on this. If someone's listening to this and they think, oh, you know, they already recorded the episode.
Okay. Yeah, so I'd probably say... You're putting me on the spot here. I need a calendar.
Well, this episode is going to go out on the 2nd of December.
Yeah. So if...
Let's say a week. Let's say get your...
I think realistically by the 7th, Friday the 7th. Like, yeah. It's time to plan for next year.
So if you listen to this on or before Friday the 7th of December...
it's not too late.
Yeah, just... Or email us if you visit longdistancetomarriage.com. We've got a contact page on there. As we always say, we read everything. So we will see the emails and we will see your tweets and your Instagram messages. We can't read smoke signals, but anything other than that, we're...
Yeah. We'll have a look-see-loo.
Have a look-see-loo.
And contact us.
Indeed. So...
But yeah, this is something... This, just as a bit of a disclaimer, this isn't something that we have... experience in our relationship, thankfully, in terms of like infidelity, but we think it's an important topic. Just like, you know, we haven't had any issues in porn with porn in our relationship, so it's not necessarily that we can give you the answers, the fixes. It's just kind of an exploratory episode to talk about the different possibilities and things like that. So just another kind of very open, no judgment arena to talk about that topic, similar to how we did with the porn episode.
Yeah, and maybe it's something we can give some tips on. Like I said, you know, certainly from a long distance point of view, I think that there is likely to be some concerns that
it's easier to cheat.
I don't want to say the word paranoid. I think that's demeaning.
Well, it's easier to wonder. It's harder to know what's going on. It's harder to feel secure.
You know, there was something I read that I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's sort of like there's no worse sound than other people having fun. And there's a lot of truth. If you're at home on your own, and like the episode of The Simpsons, I'm going retro here, the episode of The Simpsons where Bart broke his leg at the height of summer and everyone's in his swimming pool and he's just looking out the window. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of situation. If you're in a long-distance relationship and you're home and you're, you know, you can see that your other half is out.
Yeah.
They're in a club or they're with their friends and they're drinking.
And then that, because that, they have less time for you as well.
It doesn't take a very active mind to think, what could happen to that? Yeah, so if you've just got any concerns about that or whatever, we can talk about that.
Yeah, that's one thing that we can definitely give tips on is in terms of kind of feeling secure, you know, in that long distance aspect and how to make your partner feel secure and reassure when you're definitely not up to anything that you shouldn't be. But it can be hard. Like, I mean, I remember when we were apart. Well,
especially with the time difference. Because if you wake up in the morning and you're on Snapchat and think, oh, he had a good time last night. And then you text him and say, you know, whatever, how are you? And he's asleep and he doesn't know what's going on. You know, I can totally see there being some concerns. So, yeah, we're inviting feedback from now until the 7th of December. So we'd love to hear from you all.
Hear from you.
I said you all. Did it come out weird?
It's not y'all.
Yeah, okay.
Not from y'all.
I'll say again, we'd love to hear from you all.
We'd love to hear from y'all.
Yeah. So, have you got anything to add?
No.
Okay, you can do the sign off to this episode.
Thanks for listening, guys, to our first double-digit episode. And we look forward to hearing from you in terms of any feedback and anything for the infidelity episode, which will be coming up. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you guys soon.